Well, it's good to be here today. As Brother Dave said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I was thinking, we sang a song, I think Friday night, one y'all sing here, I'm sure a lot. The Lord has been so good to me. Amen. One of the verses in that song really stuck out at me. He said, I love to mingle with his saints while here on earth below, that I may meet them on that golden shore. If we don't want to mingle with them here on earth, do we think we're going to meet them up there? I don't think so. We love to be with the Lord's people. I appreciate Olean and church. I appreciate the fellowship here, and enjoyed being with Brother Roger and his hospitality, and on the hospitality of Brother Dave and Sister Mabel, and just all the fellowship and friendship that we have, and I appreciate y'all. I want to speak for a few moments this morning. I won't take a lot of time. I want to leave Brother John plenty of time, and of course, I know y'all won't care if Brother John gets up here and preaches 2 hours. That'll be fine, too. But I want to look in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. I was talking to Brother Parker. I didn't know exactly what I was going to speak on up here, and I really didn't expect to be speaking as many times as y'all have had me to ask me to speak this time. But I was talking to Brother Parker. I don't know if he remembers it or not. We were talking, and he said something about the thief on the cross. And I said, well, I might just speak on that while I'm up there. So I'm going to say a few words this morning about the thief on the cross. In Luke chapter 24, begin reading at verse 13. And behold, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 23, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong chapter. Verse 23, and I'll begin reading at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast his lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now I want to point out, we know that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We don't have to question when we find things some people might question. We don't see them as contradictions. We understand that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We can trust it. It is written and inspired by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And in the book of Matthew, it says that both of these thieves railed against Christ. And I think that in the beginning, both of them did rail against Christ. Both of them did speak against him. And that does seem kind of odd, doesn't it, that here were three men that were being crucified. They knew they were going to die. And you would think that a man that knew that he was going to die, that he wouldn't be railing against someone that is dying right beside him. You would think that anyone that knew that they were close to death would be very careful about what they said. I one time went on the internet and I looked up. There was a site, I don't even remember what it was, but it was the words, some of the last words of men who were condemned to death. And you would be surprised at what some of those men said as they were condemned to death. They were defiant. They were cursing, knowing that their death was very near. So I find it kind of strange that these men who were there with Christ, but you know, there's something about man's nature, and it's not a good thing, but there's something about man's nature that he likes to be accepted and he likes to go along with whatever the crowd is doing. That's why this mob mentality, and we've seen on the news here lately a lot of that's mob mentality, and that's actually what was going on here. There was a mob that was crucifying a man who had done nothing wrong, but the crowd just got all stirred up. And I remember what my old pastor, Brother Fulmer, said, and I have to agree with him. He said, I've tried in my mind to look back and to look at that crowd and to see if I saw myself in that crowd that said, crucify him, crucify him. And he said, I'm afraid that that's where I found myself, right there with that crowd, crucify him, crucify him. But there was something that happened to one of those thieves. Something changed. Something made a difference. And we know that the difference that was made by God. You don't just go from railing against Christ to begging him for mercy unless God makes a change in your heart. You don't go from persecuting Christians to saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do if God has not visited you and made a change in your life? And it can happen. It can happen just that quickly. That's the God we serve. And I want to talk a little bit about this thief. He says, you know, oftentimes we hear people talk about deathbed confessions. Some people kind of question deathbed confessions. I don't. I think that God can convert one of his people at the very moments of his life, last moments of his life, as easily as he can in the early on in his life. And oftentimes, perhaps, God does that. But what I notice about this man, I do believe, and I know, I don't just believe, I know from what is said here that he was a child of God. But I would hope that when my life is over, that I could have as clear a testimony that I belong to the Lord as this thief did that we read about here in the book of Luke. But I want to show you what he did. One of the malefactors, it says, that were hanged, he railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He questioned whether or not he was Christ. I'm reminded of what happened when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You remember when Satan tempted him? He said, if you be the Christ. He said, you talked about him being hungry. He said, if you're Christ, you could command this stone to be made bread. Listen. A child of God speaking by the Holy Spirit does not question whether or not Jesus is Christ. But we say, since you are Christ. Since you are Christ. We don't say that if you are Christ, you can save me. We say, since you are Christ, would you save me? But he railed on him, if thou be the Christ, be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him. This is one of the signs of a child of God who has been regenerated and come to trust in Christ, that he will rebuke a sinner that speaks out against Christ. He says to him, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Another thing that this thief did is he acknowledged his own sin and acknowledged the just judgment of God. Because he said to him, he says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Another thing that he noted about Jesus Christ, that he was perfect, that he was sinless, that he was not being put to death for something he had done, but that he was an innocent man, was not a sinner. I did way many, many years ago, was not a Primitive Baptist then, but two or three times there were some people that were going to visit a jail, have a service, song service, and speak a little bit, and I went with them, and I've also encountered it from time to time other people that are of the criminal element, people who were in jail and so forth. And I don't say this is always the case, but you know, nearly every one of those prisoners that I would talk to, they would tell me that they shouldn't be there in that jail. It was always that they had been framed, or it was somebody else's fault, but they hadn't done anything and they shouldn't even be there. And sometimes that may be true. I'm not saying it's not true. But everyone I talked to, I think that was what they would say. But this man acknowledged his sin. He said, I'm getting what I deserve. But he said, this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I want you to think about what this man saw as he made that statement. You know, later, after that Christ had ascended back to heaven, after he had been resurrected, after he'd ascended back to heaven, and the apostles began to preach about Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, here's what a few words that Peter said. Talking about Christ, he said, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But he said, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. They preached a risen Savior. They preached also, and we read in the scriptures, they preach about a Savior who not only has risen up, but is in heaven today, and that he's seated on the right hand of God, and that he's making intercession for those who love him and whom he loves. In other words, they're preaching we preach a triumphant Savior. He's conquered death. And we preach a Savior that's coming back again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, that we will be also. But I want you to think about what this thief saw. He saw a man that had been beaten. The Bible tells us, especially in the Old Testament, Isaiah, in his description of him, He said he was beaten to the point that he didn't even look human. And he was hanging on a cross as a condemned criminal. And his life was just about over. But what did this man see? He saw a king. He saw a king. The eye of God, the faith that God gave this man, I'll tell you, it's extraordinary. Nobody ever saw our Savior in a worse state than what this thief saw. You know, the old pilot, he had put that sign up over the head of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. Written it, and it said it was written in Greek, and Latin, and Hebrew to make sure that everybody could read it. John, in his account of this, the old priest, they asked him, said, take that sign down. He said, what I have written, I have written. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. We know that there were people that were questioning and saying that he claimed to be the Christ. They were crying that out. The sign was on the above the head of Christ there on the cross. I don't know if the thief could turn and read that sign or maybe heard somebody reading it. I don't know. But God revealed to that thief that this man that was beside him on the cross was a king. We believe in prayer. And I love to pray. And I'll tell you, I love to hear God's people pray. Brother Roger, before we went to bed last night, he said, let's pray. Brother Roger, I appreciated the prayer. Brother Roger prays. I feel like it's not always the case with me. But when Brother Roger prays, he prays like he's talking to somebody he knows. But you don't have to pray a long prayer. This thief, he didn't pray a long prayer, but he just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We have a risen Savior. We can see more. We have a better picture than what this thief had. But we pray today to the same Jesus, and the answer is the same when we pray to him. If we ask him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, then we have the promise that we will someday be with him in paradise. I thank y'all for your kind attention. Thank y'all for having me here. Appreciate it very much.